Well, in his speech to the UN General Assembly today, President Trump threatened North Korea with total destruction because of its nuclear missile program. He called Iran an economically depleted rogue state and a murderous regime. The president also said the U.S. and its allies are making progress against terrorists in the Middle East.
We have made big gains toward lasting defeat of ISIS. In fact, our country has achieved more against ISIS in the last 8 months than it has in many, many years combined.
Well, in the fight against ISIS in Syria, there is a page turning, according to Gail Zamaklamon, a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. She just made a trip to Syria for Defense One and PBS. And Gail, you write about how U.S. Special Forces, there are now about 1,000 in Syria, are heartened by the rebels, the Syrian Democratic Forces, they're training.
It really is the case that you see the special operations forces on the ground in Syria have almost the sense of relief, not at all because they're relaxed about the mission in any shape or form, but because it does seem that among the post-9/11 wars, this is the mission that is for them achievable and one that they feel like they are succeeding in, which is to train a local partner force to fight ISIS there on the ground in Syria.
And by the way, what's behind this? Is there a change in policy from Washington? What's going on?
There has been a loosening to some extent from the Trump White House to the Pentagon in terms of some authorities. I think people sometimes make that a little more dramatic than it is, but there has been more discretion given to commanders on the ground. So when I asked a special operations commander what has made the biggest difference, he said being able to bring more trainers into Syria to help the Syrian Democratic Forces, the U.S. is backing, build both the force that is fighting Raqqa and the force that is going to hold those cities afterward, more of a police force, what they call an internal security force.
Well, and you write that the Americans have real affection for these fighters, and you got to speak to some of them. What are they saying about how they see their role?
These fighters are young kids. I mean, they're 18, 19, 20. These young men, we met mostly men. There are women, too, would say, really, you know, we want to fight for our country. We want to fight against ISIS. One young man told me about seeing beheadings in his neighborhood, about seeing his family humiliated, and about how he wanted to bring the fight to ISIS. And, you know, they get 2 weeks of training for this one force that we visited, and then they're on the front lines of a very brutal fight.
And there's an afterwards, which you say has had an impact as well, which is that there are councils set up in the towns that are liberated. There seems to be, instead of this kind of whack-a-mole sense of fighting, there seems to be a plan to resurrect the towns after ISIS is defeated.
This is what's so fascinating. Three words have always plagued the Syria conversation, which is, and then what? And what you see on the ground among the U.S.-backed forces is in towns that are liberated, you have these civil councils that have a woman who runs them and a man who runs them together. And they are really focused on the governance issue. And you see the U.S. military and special operations forces really focused on the governance issue because everyone is trying to learn the lessons of the post-9/11 wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And lousy governance helps breed insurgency. And you do have a sense on the ground that people understand that.
Well, but there's a fly in this ointment. And that is that a contingent of the fighters is the Kurds. We've talked here on the program about Kurdish women who are fighting. Turkey, you know, sees the Kurds as fighting in Syria to have their own, you know, liberation, their own nation state. Turkey's an ally of the U.S. How's that going to play out?
Robin, battlefield reality is about to meet geopolitical reality. And this has always been the question kind of looming over this whole U.S. effort to back Syrian Kurds, because the same forces that the U.S. really thinks are just key fighters who are making a difference in the fight against ISIS and who are a force for stability in the region are seen by Turkey as terrorists. And that geopolitical reality is really about to hit the entire ISIS campaign. And so you see U.S. military officials really trying to navigate the Turkey conversation and in some ways looking to see how they could bring Turkey into the fold to show them that the quickest way to make things difficult for Turkey and for the U.S. is to abandon Syrian Kurds.
And what I mean, you know, how do you think that's going to play out?
Stay tuned. Yeah. I think that there are conversations ongoing right now with Turkey about the fact that the U.S. really does see the Syrian Kurds as a force for stability. And special operations in particular sees them as a force for stability and trying to figure out, is there a way to guarantee Turkey that it will be secure even if the U.S. backs Syrian Kurds after the ISIS fight is over?
But I just want to touch on the fact that when you talk to these U.S. commanders, these special forces, they also see this this as ending the Iraq War. They see this as a second generational war, that one they don't want a third generation to fight, their own kids. This is imperative for them that this be done right.
War is deeply personal, and we so rarely talk about it that way. And when you talk to these special operations commanders who have been formed and shaped and grown up in these post-9/11 wars, they will tell you, you know, this part of why we back this force is because we think they have the power to be an element of stability in the region. And we do not want our daughters, we do not want our sons fighting the same war.
Yeah. So accept the Kurds, they say, the military says. Gail Zamak-Laman, a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, her reporting in Syria was supported by the Pulitzer Center for Crisis Reporting. Terrific stuff. Gail, thank you.
Great to join you.